sometimes we act as if this all got invented in our lifetime. You know, C.S. Lewis talked about what he called chronological snobbery. It's the assumption that when something is new, it's better, and when something is old, it's worse. And you can kind of see how we've gotten this, but it's like, and I say this in the book, if something isn't trending on Twitter, it must not be important. Well, actually, if it's trending on Twitter, it almost certainly is not important. Now, occasionally something important, but you know what I mean. For the most part, the life of celebrity and even many current events that will not be remembered and will not matter at all in our thinking, sometimes even a week from now, certainly a year from now, and 50 years from now, are you kidding me? Most of what occupies our thinking will not matter at all, and no one will care. And God gives us an opportunity to go to people of the past and stand on their shoulders. But to do that, we've got to make it so that we're not just looking at current new stuff and new thoughts, or that the new thoughts that we're reading are taking us back to the old thoughts. And that's why numbers of my books, I quote extensively from Spurgeon and from Edwards and the Puritans and the Reformers, Calvin and Luther and, you know, Augustine and Aquinas and great theologians of church history and John Wesley and all of that. So in this chapter of the book, which I think is chapter 9, about voices from the voices from the past, I go back to some of them and what they've said. And what I point out is that both Calvinists and Arminians, who have disagreed on a lot of things, have agreed on a lot of key things. And they have agreed on both the fact that God is sovereign and that we as human beings have real, actual human choice. Now, we see misrepresentation of this frequently, because if you talk to a Calvinist, he's liable to portray an Arminian as really not believing in the sovereignty of God. Well, in the church where I came to Christ and where I grew in my Christian life, it was an Arminian church, and I believed in the sovereignty of God. That's one of the first things I was taught, that God's in control of everything. Now, of course, I didn't believe in it in the same way that a Calvinist believes in it, but I certainly affirmed that God was in control. Likewise, Arminians will sometimes say, Calvinists, they don't believe that people really have any ability to choose anything, which of course is false. Go to a Calvinist church and you have a preacher up front who's teaching people to believe certain things and telling them to stay away from false doctrine and encouraging them to live lives of sexual purity. And all of these things involve what? Choice. I mean, if you didn't think that the people listening to you had an ability to apply, to choose to believe or obey or follow what you're saying, what would be the point of preaching? And the same thing, and the funny thing is, and I talk about this in the book where I cite, you know, different people, but when a Calvinist calls upon people to believe his arguments and turn away from Arminianism to Calvinism, he's calling upon them to choose, right? That they have to choose to believe what he's, it's not, you know, and every time an Arminian prays and asks God to change the heart of some person to bring them to faith in Christ, he's recognizing that they can't do it on their own. God has to change their hearts. A sovereign God must intervene in this life to bring someone to faith. So really the distance sometimes that we sense between Calvinists and Arminians, and there is, of course, there are significant and actual and real differences, but those differences are within the sphere of orthodoxy. Now, there are Calvinists and Arminians who step outside of orthodoxy with their extremes. But if we just go back and read John Wesley, who I'm a predominantly Calvinist in my beliefs, although I used to be Arminian. However, I'm a four-point Calvinist. And so some of my Calvinist friends, really feel like I'm not nearly Calvinist enough because I'm holding out. And then my Arminian friends believe I'm way too Calvinist. But the bottom line of the thing is, the core of our faith, let's affirm both the sovereignty of God and the free will of human beings. Now, free will, I talk about this in the book. I prefer the term meaningful human choice because free will sometimes gets way exaggerated. Okay, well, we have free will, but our freedom is limited. Human beings are in bondage to sin. We are finite in the first place. I can't fly. I could will myself to fly, but it's not going to help.